Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Top of the morning.
Yes, top of the morning, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro on ESPN, 98.7. That's so bad. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
Roar!
Oh, the king of the jungle. Our amazing producers, the little Don.
One stinks.
Wow, if that's how you feel, RJ Santillo. How about our warrior, Raymond Santiago?
Ghostbuster only.
Well said, Raymond. And of course, as always, we have the company with us. Thank you for getting up with us on this NFL draft Thursday morning. We are DNR. I love that sound. The R&R boys.
Ikeem Ukunua.
I wish that Keyshawn would do that pick tonight. Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, 1-800-919-3776. Please. I'm begging you, be nice to Dave, otherwise...
Shut up!
Oh, savage. We have an awesome show planned for you today.
All the different crab cake places this summer, eating crab cakes, hopefully.
Mel is fired up. Mets lose, Pete Alonso gets tackled by a man with the same nickname as Dave, Dick Stubby Clap. Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol embarrasses himself. Let's get some of Buck's thoughts in the clubhouse.
I was making an
your face dead.
Slap his face right dead. Yankees take care of business with a 5-2 win against the Orioles. Giancarlo Stanton with his 350th home run. Rangers lose. Doesn't matter. And yes, today is the day. The NFL draft starts tonight, and you can hear all of it right here starting at 7 on 98.7 ESPN New York. Dave, at some point, I'm sure, is going to force me to do a mock draft. We have a surprise guest with a humongous announcement at 6:35. And as always, on the Thursday at 6:45, we have no observations. Did it happen in Florida? But before we get to all of that, I would like to say good morning to a man that can sing.
Keeping your head above water.
He can dance.
I'm Fred Astaire, baby.
He can act.
They converted my kid's bathtub to a shower.
So talented.
I have a big one.
Yeah, that too. That he needs his very own alias.
Kid Frost.
Kid Frost, our quadruple threat. My best friend and yours, David Rothenberg.
Whoa. Now, I don't know if that was better because of the excitement in the air today or if that was just greatness on its own. And we might never know. But I say good morning to you, Rick. Good morning.
Great morning, David. Great morning.
Yeah. I would imagine this is what Christmas morning feels like, no?
Yeah, going back to when you were a kid, when, you know, Christmas, you were excited, couldn't sleep. Almost like you're ready to sneak down to see if Santa came. Yeah, this is what this feels like.
Right. I mean, there's all these beautiful gifts just waiting for us. The question is, which gifts do we pick?
Which gifts do we pick, and do we like the gifts that we get?
Oh, there's going to be so much analysis. I cannot wait for this. Now, knowing you the way I do, I would say the way you ended the show yesterday ate you up for at least a good 30 to 45 minutes.
It almost affected my ability to coach my baseball game last night.
So you were that upset?
I was that upset.
No excuses, Pleca champion. It's DiPietro, Kid Frost, and...
Rothenberg?
On ESPN, 98.7.
Yes! You just crumbled.
No, you threw me because I screwed up because I should have said Rothenberg and let you do Kid Frost.
Yeah, what I was expecting, which is why I was so kind of overwhelmed when I was like, well, I guess I'll just say the name because he's used Kid Frost.
I know. I completely screwed that up. I botched the ending.
You really did.
I really did. Yeah, I mean, that's just blatant is what it is.
So at what point yesterday it took you all through the day of being upset with that close to the show?
All through the day. I came downstairs. My wife says, what's the matter? I was like, did you not listen to Rule 76? She's like, yeah, who cares? I was like, hey, well, who cares? It's an embarrassment is what that is.
See, you take everything so seriously.
I strive for perfection. I want the show to be
great. And therein lies the problem. I got news for you, pal. You're never going to be perfect. You're always going to make mistakes.
Hence why I'm sitting here looking at Rick 5.0 in my mocks.
You're up to 5.0?
I'm up at 5.0, yeah.
I haven't done mine yet.
You mentally have done yours.
Well, I've been working on it for weeks, but I haven't actually put pen to paper and done my mock draft.
We Show are some doing. Respect, would you please?
I have a lot of respect. The anticipation is I will best you in the mock draft tonight. What we're going to do that at what 7:30 this morning?
I think 7:30. Yeah.
You want to have Renan on the show today?
I think we need to have Renan on.
So what do you think for him? 7:15.
7:15 would be nice. Yeah,
would be nice. I don't know yet why you keep playing that. I mean, we're asking the guy to do us a favor, get on with us at 7:15, and you play that awkward laughter. It's uncomfortable.
But this is, oh my God, no, that's
of course,
bad.
Of course. Oh, what a surprise.
That's bad.
I say, I don't know why you play it, and what do? They play it again.
And I mean, that's what we do here, right?
I guess.
Did I need to have me screwing up yesterday in the open? No, but I did. On
yeah,
ESPN,
well,
98.7.
I think you knew you had to, because if you didn't, we would have drawn immediate attention to it.
Yeah, I think I realized that, but I think I also realized, like, I mean, some self-deprecation once in a while is nice.
Especially if you're the guy that goes after everybody all the time. So, Renan 7:15, and then we have a special guest, someone everyone knows and really loves, but the news of the day that this person brings with them is big news.
Big news! Jazz hands!
It is, right? That's Jazz Hands kind of big news.
Yeah, I think it's big news. I think it's exciting. I'll tell you what. Having already dabbled with it, this is it's going to make your life a whole hell of a lot easier.
I mean, immensely easier. And I don't want to say too much, but it is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Yep.
I think everyone that listens to this show and enjoys listening to the show, we'll get a little excitement at 6:30.
Let's get a little look at the traffic.
You like that one, huh?
Oh, no, it's just, you know what the best part of doing the open?
And my tongue was going so crazy, I couldn't stop it.
Let's get a little look at the traffic.
Yeah, seriously, I'm not even joking. Like, I got a bunch of anxiety when I'm getting ready to do the open. What am I going to put in here? But then, like, when I get online and I start talking to Santi, and I'm like, so what do we got for some drops? Give me some. And he starts playing some of the drops like that, or like you roaring. I just, it instantly puts me in a good mood.
Roar!
You know, as you're playing that open, I'm like, boy, we've had a lot of funny moments on this show, huh?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's why I look forward to doing it every day.
It's fun.
Every day I laugh.
Especially a day like today where we have the NFL draft. So the Jets go 4, the Giants go 5, the Giants go 7, the Jets go 10. Will there be trades? Now, how are we doing our mock draft? Are we going to incorporate trades, or you just make your pick at that selection?
I think we just go picks.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we just go picks. But I think, I mean, it's the more of these that I did, the more interested that I am in whether or not a couple of these teams here in the top 10, or if it's possible. Like, I'm sure there's a couple, like... With what Houston needs, the amount of of holes that Houston has, like that would be a team like in a normal year where I mean there were some quarterbacks that people really wanted. Like I'm sure Houston would want to move back.
I think that's what everyone would ideally like, or most teams would like to move back, but I don't know that you're going to be able to.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like who's coming all the way up to 3? If it's not for you know what I mean, like that would be tough. Maybe Carolina.
I mean, how much are you going to mortgage to move up to 3, though? To take who? Sauce Gardner? Evan Neal?
That's what I mean, though. I said maybe not the 3. Like, Carolina, I mean, they could, depending on what they do, I mean, if they like one of these quarterbacks or not. I mean, some of these mocks, like Matt Miller's mock has the Jets coming up from 10 to 6.
I guess the question is, what's so strange to me is Thibodeau is in play at 4? Right? The Jets could get him. He could go to 9, 10, 11. Yeah. Like, there's a huge swing with some of these guys.
No, I know.
That's the interesting part. You do realize, and I mean this sincerely, we could, and I don't think we will, but you could go 0 for 10 with your 10 picks today.
No, I'm not going to go 0 for 10.
No, I don't think you will either. And I'm not saying you. I'm just saying people could.
Yes.
Like, because you could easily get the first pick wrong.
That's the problem.
And once you get the first pick wrong, it's a tremendous trickle-down effect.
And then all hell breaks loose is what happens.
Like a Royal Rumble would happen.
Yeah. You know what I think is interesting, too, though, with what could potentially happen, depending on how the draft falls, is once we start talking about the Giants at 7 and the Jets at 10, I honestly have some concern that you may take the player at 7 that the Jets would like to take at 10.
The player at 7 you'd like the Jets to take at 10? Betts and Stennett.
It's not Dane Fletcher either. But it's the same, because
is
I would imagine.
Thibodeau?
What's that?
Is Thibodeau?
No. See, I don't know. I don't know how highly the Jets are on Thibodeau.
Yeah, I spoke to someone this week that said the Giants are not in love with him either.
No, I think both teams, as far as edge is concerned, because I feel like, I mean, Walker and Hutchinson are probably going to be gone.
Johnson, is that the guy?
That's the guy.
Yeah, you worry about losing him, huh?
Yep.
But if the Jets don't go wide receiver at 4, don't they have to go wide receiver at 10?
They're not. No.
Oh, okay.
Here's how I would explain it. I think there's three different factions right now as to what they're going to do. That in each want different things. So someone's going to be disappointed, because I think, I mean, as far as the head coach is concerned, I think it's, I mean, with how bad his defense was, and when you look at what they'll be facing this season, and you keep saying, I think everyone feels the same way, like, you know, Zach Wilson has to take that next step, and, you know, the Jets need to be, at the very least, more competitive. You can't win 4 games again. I don't care how hard your schedule is, you can't win 4 games again. Like, you have to make a jump, and I think part of that's going to be your defense has to be better. I mean, Robert Saleh has this job because he's his side of the defensive mind.
But right now, I would ask you the question of how. Like you look at it now. Now they're going to improve it via the draft, and they're going to have to tremendously.
Okay, but that's what I mean, though. Like he's going to be banging the table. I need help on defense. Like the move we've made.
It's hard to envision they're going to go defense 4-10, isn't it?
No, I could see them doing that.
You'd think so, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
But here's the thing, though, is. I think of course you want the best, you know, you have your board set up and you want the best player available, right? Like that's like your highest graded player. And in best case scenario, your highest graded player also fits one of your needs, right? Like that's the perfect storm. And the reason I brought up Jermaine Johnson is that I think at 10, if he was there at 10, I think the Jets would take him at 10. My concern is I think the Giants also like him at 7.
I think they do like him at 7.
Okay, so if the Giants get their offensive lineman at 5, and now Johnson's sitting there at 7, now...
Or do they trade back? See, that's what you have to root for. You have to root for the Giants trading back.
Or I trade up to 6.
Yeah, you have a lot of draft capital. Or you trade... Now here's a question for you also. Would the Jets and Giants ever make a deal?
Well, not if it's for this. I can't imagine if it's for the same player, though. Could you?
Well, two things. I can't imagine, probably not if it's for the same player, and I cannot imagine the Jets would part with their number one pick for next season.
No.
So that's what the Giants want, right? That's the big piece.
Well, yeah, that's what
they would
like, because we'll see what happens with Daniel Jones. You want the flexibility next season if you have to, you know, you have to go get a quarterback.
Why is there all this discussion? Am I missing something?
About Daniel Jones' 50-year
option? People, like, breaking it down, like full segments posted on Twitter. Will they or won't they? We spent no time on it. I don't even think it's a debate. The Giants using the 50-year option on Daniel Jones?
I think the only way that would happen is if that's an ownership request.
And if that happens, that's a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you got a new coaching. At least this, you got a new, you know, a new coaching staff, and you have a new GM that didn't select Daniel Jones. Like, he hasn't. Like, how do you pick up his fifth-year option? If it's just independent
of...
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it's independently your own decision, how can Joe Shane pick up the fifth-year option?
I don't know what the rationale behind that would be. Why would he do that? It would make zero sense. So he wouldn't. And listen, if he happens to be great, good. Then you pay him. You can have a fortune of money under the cap for next season.
See, that's one of those, you know, you always hear that cliche, it's a good problem to have. That would be an actual good problem to have.
It would be a great problem. Even if you have to pay him another $5, $8, $10, $12 million a year than you would if you picked up the 50-year option, doesn't matter. You now have your quarterback. Now you're winning the battle.
Yeah, you would be ecstatic if that happened.
Oh, would I be? You have no idea, because now all of a sudden you focus on other stuff.
Exactly right. I mean, that's the best place to be, is when you have your quarterback set and all of a sudden.
And then how far are you from being a playoff team? If he shows that he's worthy of being a Giant after this season, you got to figure you're if not a playoff team now, right there on the verge of being a playoff team next season.
Well, yeah, I mean, now all of a sudden you have what? The second best quarterback in the division, probably.
Well, he's better than Washington. If you keep him, he's going to be better than Washington's quarterback. And I don't think anybody loves Philly's quarterback.
Well, see that, yeah, but that's the point. If you're going to give him, like, if he plays, you know, well enough, where you're considering giving him a long term deal for, well, you know, what, $30 million a year? I mean, that's around the going rate.
Sure,
and more than that actually. But for what Daniel Jones would be asking for, then yeah, he better be at least the second best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a good season. I wouldn't be shocked if he was the Giants quarterback next year, but to make that decision now, I think would be shocking and jarring and upsetting.
Yeah, see, I don't know. Why would you have to at this point? I don't think you have to.
You wouldn't. There'd be no reason to. But I heard a lot, and I saw like segments from shows posting it, like, will they keep him? What will they do? 50-year options. Like, what did we miss? No.
That's Hackfest is what that is.
Yeah, I agree.
That's like asking, like, which team is, like, which New York team is closer, you know, closest to a championship.
All right, so what you're doing now is you're taking shots at me, you're taking shots at RJ, you're taking shots at KJM. I mean, you've just, with one broad brush, taken a swipe at everyone here.
Yeah, not even a brush. I'm going roller is what I'm doing.
You know what? I can't wait. I'm off June 27th that week, and when it becomes the Rick DiPietro show, oh, I can't wait.
On ESPN, 98.7.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what kind of radio you put on that week.
Oh, look at what is happening.
Because we know what you need. You need the human crutch, right?
I need a human crutch. I need someone to drive the show. That's better than just a random topic because I have nothing to talk about.
It was not random. It was a good topic. All right. Many people said the show was smoother last week without you. I didn't want to say this, but I will now. Many people said the show was smoother and better last week without you than when you're on the show. I don't feel that way, but that was a lot of people's thoughts.
If by smoother you meant more boring, then yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay.
Like it was easier for people to go back to sleep, then yes.
Okay. All right. You and your human crutch. The week of June 27th, I think the week of July 25th, a week and a half in August. We'll see how it works out for you, pal. We'll see if you're not on hands and knees. When's Dave coming back? Dave, can you please come back? I need you. I can't do the show without you.
I may go on vacation. How about that?
Yeah, great. And we'll leave it in whose hands? No one's.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And Rick, he is peppering. I mean, he would ask anybody, you think this team takes safety? Where do you think Kyle Hamilton goes? How about Jermaine Johnson? You think Kenny Pickett? I heard bad things on Kenny Pickett. What do you think? Like, you would ask anybody. Why do you open up the door to your home and ask the guy that walks the streets in a suit? Who do you think is going to go nine? Who
I would never ask eight? Him. No, I wouldn't ask him.
I'd ask anybody.
No. I'd be afraid I'd end up locked up in his on in ESPN, one of the walls 98, in his house.
You'd ask anybody. RJ, have you ever heard anything like it? How stressed out is he over the mock draft at 7:35?
Currently, I think he's very concerned about what the Falcons are going to do at number eight.
Yes, it seems.
That's the only two though right now. Carolina. It really starts with Carolina for me.
RJ, you're a man of gambling. You do your Caesars reads so wonderfully every day. What would you say you would put the odds? Firstly, who do you look at as the favorite of the mock draft, me or Rick, to win?
I think, you haven't even done one yet, so I think I would favor Rick at this point.
Okay.
But it's two different concepts, right? Rick has his algorithms.
I did my little algorithm method.
Yeah. Nice, RJ. Thanks.
Did your tongue swell up when you said that, by the way?
Don't even start with the tongues. Well, you want to take a look at the traffic?
Let's get a look at the traffic. My tongue went rambling. Your tongue swelled in size.
But you're firing from the hip, Dave. So you're just gonna rip and read.
No, I'm not gonna.
Dave's like Malcolm Gladwell is what he does. He just goes boom right at the moment.
No,
first
I'm
instant.
Not gonna rip and read. That's an insult of epic proportions. What I have done is been gathering information from literally months. I have it all in my database up here in my noggin. And at about 7 o'clock, I'm gonna put pen to paper. I'm not gonna be Dave 5.0. Every break, where do you think Derek Stingley goes? You think Ekwonu gets into the top five? No. I'm not going to bother you guys with those shenanigans every single break today.
No, but you're taking the other side. So you're saying our opinion doesn't matter. That's what you're saying.
Well, here's my issue, though.
For my mock draft, your opinion doesn't matter,
That's not nice.
That's not nice. This is why you're not a team player. This is why you play tennis. This is why you play tennis.
Don't give me this is why I played tennis. It's my mock draft. You. Why am I going to take what you guys think or want to have happen?
Well,
it's my mock draft.
Well, don't you value their opinions?
If I value their opinion, I will ask them a specific question. I don't think it's that you value their opinions. I think it's that you're so stressed that you're having verbal diarrhea and you need to just ask anybody. It's not them. They just happen to be here. If it was the woman in the cafeteria, if it was the guy that opened the door downstairs, it doesn't matter who it is. You just need human contact to actually provide some semblance of an answer to you.
Not answer, reassurance sometimes is what I need.
Fine. But it's not like you look at them as Mel Kiper of the show. You look at them as just warm, living bodies.
And how dare you?
That's the truth.
I can't. How am I going to trust you in pickleball if this is how you're going to act?
Oh, you wouldn't even know what to do if you play pickleball with me. We would dominate.
You know what the advantage too is that you're a righty, I'm a lefty.
It's beautiful.
You know how that works.
Well, I know how it works. Beautiful. I'm on that little court.
See, I'll tell you what though. Even if we're playing doubles ping pong too, you got a lefty and a righty on the same team. Forget it.
I'm not a fan of doubles ping pong.
Again, I don't understand why. Like you pick a nice teammate and you battle.
Because I like to play solo, singles, ping pong.
That's selfish.
It's not selfish.
This is why you're not a good lover.
What? Excuse me?
This is why you heard me. I didn't stutter. I didn't say lover. I said this is why you're not a good lover.
Let's get a look at the traffic. Would prove otherwise.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe if you weren't so selfish about it.
Selfish. So giving, you have no understanding. You wouldn't even believe the things I do. All right, I don't want to go here. I don't want you to drag me down into the dregs of what you do.
All right, let me ask you one draft-related question, because we got to talk about the Mets here, too, and what happened
yesterday. Oh, yeah, we do. And the big baby, Nolan Arenado.
Right, how about their manager, too? What an embarrassment. So here's my question.
Because he's a child. He's 35 years old.
Yeah, he doesn't, whatever. So quickly. So here's my holdup, because I got 1 through 5, feel good. Now I get to Carolina. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Carolina mention that they're going to add a quarterback? They said that, right?
They did, but that doesn't mean with the 6th overall pick.
Okay, but their next pick isn't until the 4th round.
Well, it doesn't necessarily... Did they say in the draft they're going to add a quarterback?
When else are they going to add one?
Well, Baker Mayfield they could add.
Well, I mean, didn't your boy Ben McAdoo kind of say, like, suggest that Sam Darnold's going to be their quarterback?
Well, he didn't suggest it. He said it, yes.
Okay, so, I mean, if that's the case, am I going to go, I have the 6th pick and then my next pick is 137?
So you think right there the fruit basket becomes exchanged? You think at 6 they take a quarterback?
Well, when else are they getting him?
I mean, they could get him in the 4th round, no? Oh,
I guess.
I don't know what kind of quarterback you get in the fourth
round. That's what I'm saying, though. I think
you bring up a fair point. So that's the pick. Is that the pick that's stressing you out at the nth degree right now?
Yes.
Is six?
Six.
Six. Have you asked RJ what he thinks about six?
Yes.
What does RJ say to you?
Yeah, he doesn't have a great feel on it.
What a surprise. So he doesn't know what they're going to do.
I don't think anyone knows.
Do you think at this moment that Carolina knows, in fact, what they'll do?
I think they have an idea what they're going to do or what they'd like to do. I mean, their boards are set, right?
Well, boards are set. But, like, do you think right now, if this specific guy is there, like, if Pickett's going to be there, I would imagine. Yeah. Willis. Let's just say if both guys are available, do you think Carolina knows exactly what their plan is of what they'll do?
Yeah, I think they know what they're going to do. I think they probably would want to trade back. Because, again, that's a huge jump to go from, I mean, you have a six pick in the draft to now all of a sudden we don't pick again until the fourth round.
I guess the wonder is there any team that looks at these quarterbacks, any team that looks at them and says, I need to move up and grab one of those guys? Because if there is, it changes the entire dynamic of this draft. And if there's not, then I don't know how any of these teams are going to trade back.
Well, it would have to be, I don't think it's going to be for a quarterback. I think it would be like, I think it would be more moves up to, maybe get the, that wide receiver that you want, or to get, like, if you're the Jets, to get, to get the pass rusher that you want, just because you're afraid that, the Giants are going to take him at 7 and you won't be there for you at 10.
Could you see the Jets moving from 10 to 7? If they don't want the same guy, moving from 10 to 7 and incorporating, like, one of those second round picks to do it?
Yeah, I mean, if it's the guy that you want, right?
Right. Oh, well, yeah, I can't. This cannot happen soon enough. What was it? 8 o'clock tonight? This thing starts.
Coverage on 98.7 starts at 7.
7 o'clock. The coverage, but the first pick, we're gonna have like the commissioner go up there and get booed by everybody at what time? Like 8:05. At what point do the Jaguars go on the clock?
The second we start, they go on the clock, right?
Right, but like at 8:07. So like we're looking at first pick 8:17, right? Something like that.
Probably somewhere around there.
Do you remember, and this was awful, when it used to be 15 minutes a pick?
It's too long. It's
way
too long.
Oh, God. I mean, you look at it. I mean, you could have an hour for four picks.
It's too long.
So, yeah, I mean, you could potentially be looking at a six-hour first round.
Which no one has any interest in, let's be honest.
That's a bit much. Even Mel Kiper's like, please,
I'll tell you what, and this is probably not a great comparison, but it's the closest that we have, is when we do those fantasy football drafts. And, like, you have this plan all set up, and you think you got plenty of time, and then all of a sudden, like, God forbid, the guy that you're going to take goes the pick ahead of you, and now that time feels like it just instantly is gone. Instantly.
That's a great analogy.
Doesn't it feel like, I mean, how quick does that feel like it goes?
It does go quick. And then how stressed out do you get? You must be a mess during a fantasy football draft.
Oh, I'm sweating.
If the guy before you takes who you want, you must have a nervous breakdown.
Oh, my God.
You can't even discuss it now.
No, I can't. I get anxiety thinking about it.
How stressed are you for the Jets tonight? Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous, no.
You feel good?
I feel good, yeah.
We haven't really talked about this, and I want to get into the Mets and the Yankees in a second. But, boy, if you wind up trading Mekhi Becton, who now it's like public, I saw written last night. I know you had told us the other day. Ballooned to well over 400 pounds. That's a big F for Joe Douglas if you have
humongous
to trade him after two seasons.
Humongous.
It changes your draft plans this year.
Exactly right. Well, if you trade him or if he can, I mean, you're not going to get fair value, obviously. Guy was hurt last year. He's got the weight concerns and everything else. That would be why I would say that you would probably try to do whatever it takes to make it work. But I think there's a real decision to be made if all of a sudden now you're sitting there at 4 and Aquanu is still available.
And I think he will be.
See, I don't know if he's going to be. I just don't know how Houston would pass him up.
Well, we'll get to that at 7:30 today. Now, RJ continues to try to push me. Well, we got sound for Rich Cimini with this and with that. We'll get there, RJ. All right, we're not going.
I'm as dialed in as Rich Cimini. Let's relax here for a second. All right?
So you are the Rich Cimini of this show, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm Rick. They call me Rick Cremini.
Rick Cremini, like the alter ego of Rich Cimini.
Yeah, the mushroom. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. All right. Now, yesterday,
why am I you got the sick mind, not me. I didn't even. I mean, I saw where you went with that.
I went nowhere.
Oh, I saw you.
I'm like an innocent child to what you to the debaucherous lifestyle that you live.
Maybe Rick Cremini does a good job. Boom, mushroom stamp. stamp of
half
approval.
Half the stuff you say, I don't even really understand.
No, you do.
I just like smile and say, all right, let's move on, because I'm sure there has a connotation that I'm not supposed to be using. But I don't really understand what you're saying half the time.
Because you were told. Do not partake.
That's right. All right. And I'm told now, please move on. All right. Let's move on. How do you say this guy's name? Is it Yoan Lopez?
Yeah. Making his Mets debut.
Yeah. So makes his Mets debut. And big props to this kid. Could you imagine going out there? I mean, all you've wanted your entire life, get out there. You're pitching for the Mets. It's like, all right, kid, go throw one inside against Arenado. So the Mets have been, I guess it's for the Mets, enough is enough, right?
It has to be.
They've been hit so many times. You've seen how angry they've gotten. And not just hitting in the helmet, hitting in the face. Like, it's happened continuous. And yesterday they said, enough is enough. So Lopez goes out there, throws, I guess, up and in. I didn't think it was awful.
It was up. It wasn't that. I mean, it wasn't
Like, he didn't hit him in the shoulder. He went up and in-ish. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay.
He was sending a message.
A clear message without hitting him. And the Cardinals completely freaked out. You've hit the Mets over and over and over and over all series long. You have one thrown in a spot where you don't appreciate, and you're not hit, and you lose your marbles?
Yeah, not even. I mean, it was all of it, though. And Arenado had to know at that point. I mean, J.D. Davis, I mean, that's the 19th time a Mets been hit. It's, you know, three Mets were hit on Tuesday, including Pete up by him in the head. Luckily, I mean, the guys are all wearing these C-flaps now. I mean, he gets hit in the head. And so, yeah, enough is enough. J.D. Davis, you know, J.D. Davis has to leave the game. It sounds like, you know, x-rays were negative, but still, I mean, yeah, enough is enough. So, I mean, Nolan Arenado's been around long enough to know, especially being, and this is the part I hate about baseball. I mean, it's just, I'm the best player on the team or one of the best players on the team, so I'm going to be after. Because my pitchers can't control the baseball, I'll be the one that pays the price for this.
Listen, that's how the game works.
It's stupid.
Well, what do you want the Mets to do?
No, nothing.
What do you want them to do?
No, listen, it's the reality of the situation. I just think it's dumb. I just think it's stupid.
So if you're Buck Showalter and you're Lopez and you're the Mets, what would you suggest?
I would do exactly. I would have hit him. First of all, I would have hit him if I'm Lopez. I mean, what better way to ingratiate yourself with your teammates is to just go up there and do what you're supposed to do. But the way Arenado reacted, I mean, that was over the top. I mean, listen, if you want to get upset, get upset. But then the second he takes Nito and throws him to the side, and that's when all hell broke loose. And then for Stubby Clapp, the first base coach,
hands on Pete Alonso. Stubby Clapp?
Yeah, it's actually Dick Clapp, but that's a tough one.
Well, there's no reason for musical interludes there. That's the guy's name.
For that. Yeah, there's medicine for that, actually. But then, I mean, it him and then Genesis Cabrera pulling down on him, and then Pete goes, you know, Pete falls backwards, which I'm sure he was embarrassed about, but still, God forbid he gets hurt getting tackled to the ground.
Well, I don't know why he'd be embarrassed. He was tackled from behind.
Well, I know, but it's you're getting tackled by a coach.
I mean, I wouldn't mind being clapped in the back.
I mean, you don't go out there with the intention you're going to get it. I mean, you're going to get tackled by Stubby Clapp.
No, he was red hot after that, too.
Of course he
was. Red hot.
He's been hit in the face twice.
I know.
This season.
So you can hit the Mets. I wonder what the Cardinals' rationale is. Like, we can hit them, even if it's unintentional, we can hit them ad nauseum, like over and over and over and over, and they should do nothing.
Well, now, they were chirping back and forth yesterday, too, though. Remember that? I mean, your shirts are chirping back and forth. They were all, how dare you guys throw inside against us? Like, if we've been hit. I mean, you hit us three times today.
That's all you've
done.
What
are you talking about?
You've done it all series long as you've hit the Mets. So here is Arenado, and he has a minute to think about it. He has a minute to calm down, to give an end. You know what? Maybe in the heat of the moment, it lost my composure, but I don't think that's not the avenue he went with. Here is Arenado being thrown at.
It's an unfortunate part of the game, but it is part of the game. It is what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, they won the series. They played better baseball than us, and it was good to come out with a win today, though. I don't know. I just didn't like where it was at. You know, like I said, I figured it was coming. It is what it is. I just didn't like where it was at.
What did he think they were going to do?
Well, no, that's fine. No, I mean, you heard it. And I'll be honest, as a Mets fan, I'm going to take that out of it here for a second. I would feel the same way. Like,
well,
it doesn't have to be.
You shouldn't like it, but you've hit our guys endlessly during the series.
Listen, I understand what you're saying, but this is not like Nolan Arenado in that spot taking all of that into account. What he's saying to you, what he just said to you was, I went into the box expecting to probably be hit. And the unwritten rules of baseball is that if you're going to throw a baseball 94 miles an hour at somebody, let's keep it below the neck. So, yeah, you want to hit me in the butt, in the back, whatever. Good, I expected it. I don't love that it was up by my head. Which, again, in that moment, that's fine to be mad. But the second you put your hands on Thomas Nito, then that's when...
Well, you escalated to that next level.
Yeah.
And then I thought the real embarrassment of this whole thing was Oliver Marmol, the manager of the Cardinals. 35 years old. I get it, you want to defend your guys, but I don't know. Here we go. Here is Marmol backing Arenado.
When you come up top like that and jeopardize someone's career in life, yeah, I take exception to that. I don't think anyone in the big leagues appreciates getting thrown up top. Nolan has every right to react the way he did and go after him, and we'll protect that.
Listen, I guess you're going to defend your players, right? You're a new manager. You haven't been through these battles
before. Have some awareness, though, of what happened the day before.
It's comical. Well, you're going to go up and in. That's all you've done is gone up and in.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the Mets' best player. I mean, one of their best players in the head. I mean, what are we talking about?
So now you take... I didn't hear him after that saying that's unacceptable what we did. Did you?
No, I think Buck said it the best. Buck said, our guy got hit in the head and he went to first. But, I mean, in that moment... Here's the other thing, though. Because, I mean, there'll be a bunch of hypocrites on this today. The same people are screaming and yelling. At what point do the Mets do something about it? Like, oh, Pete, enough is enough. Pete gets hit in the head like that, he should charge the mound. Nolan Arenado did what people have been screaming for the Mets to do. Send a message. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. You talk about Buck Showalter after this one being annoyed. Here he is.
Disappointed that Lopez came up and in on Arenado?
No, you would be putting words in my mouth that it was intentional, which it wasn't. What else?
You think Arenado was out of line there?
No. I'll let them handle their players. I know our player got hit in the head and went to first base.
In a general sense, then, are you satisfied with the way that your club handled its side of things?
Yeah. I think that umpires felt that way, too. They're two ejections.
Right? I mean, yeah. I don't know what you're looking for Buck Showalter to say here.
No, he said it perfectly. Said it perfectly. And this, I mean, this is a team that's been hit, I mean, like I mentioned, 19 times, which is almost double. Which is almost double.
Right. So we're talking about the baseballs, and they're not right, and there's clearly a problem. Fine. But how do you explain the Mets have been hit? Is it 19? Is that the number? I thought it was over that.
19 is the number.
Okay. So how can you explain that they've been hit 19 times, and last I saw, the next highest in baseball is 11?
Yeah. Listen, I don't know. I was thinking about that yesterday after that all happened. I mean, like
even if your mindset is, listen, the balls are not right, fine. Clearly there's an issue, fine. We've heard a lot of pitchers talk about it. Bassett talked about it the other day. But how do you explain the Mets have been hit like almost 50% more or almost double than any other team in baseball?
Well, we have guys that do get hit by, that have a history of being hit by pitches or being willing to be hit by pitches. So I think that plays into it.
But
I think that's
part of it. They're not willing to get hit in the head.
No, I'm not saying that. But I mean, that's three. You're talking about three times. I'm talking about, I mean, it's been 19 times. I mean, we have guys on this team that don't have a problem, taking a pitch once in a while, which I like.
I like it too. But, leaning your elbow kind of over-ish the plate and bases loaded, that forcing in a run, that's one thing. Getting hit continuously. And, I mean, you say it's three times. That's a lot of times to be hitting
the head. Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to explain why it's at 19. Like, the next closest team is 11, but of our 19, we got, four or five where it's like, okay, here's a good spot. I got two strikes, pitches inside. Yeah, let me just keep my elbow in here so I can hit by this pitch. I mean, that's part of the 19, too. But the three off the face, I mean, that's Lindor got lucky. Pete's been lucky.
Lindor still needs surgery.
Yeah,
he still needs dental work to be done.
He cracked a tooth, yeah.
Oh, terrible. Here's Pete Alonso on the Nolan Arenado situation.
Getting dumbed up isn't fun. It's obviously not safe. It's dangerous, and there's consequences, whether it's on purpose or not, and we're going to stand up for ourselves, and I'm totally for standing up. I'm not just for standing up for myself. I'm totally for standing up for teammates, but kind of what happened today, it just didn't make sense. The ball wasn't even close. Something got started for no reason. It wasn't even close. I know it's a five-run ball game, but, like, we're trying to come back. To me, the whole thing didn't even make sense.
Did you hear where Alonzo said yesterday? He goes, listen, if I want to put someone in the hospital, I'll put someone in the hospital.
They don't know, like, my temper. They don't know what I could do. I mean, if I wanted to put someone in the hospital, I easily could, but I was just out there trying to protect my guys.
Yeah, that was like the opposite of what happened with the Yankees and Red Sox, with what Pedro did to Zimmer.
Don Zimmer?
Yeah.
That was awful.
That's a stubby clap. Did the opposite. Oh, you're not going to give you a chance to toss me? No way.
Yeah, let me go tackle you and pull you down.
Oh, it's just dangerous, though, man. I mean, that again, God forbid something happens to Pete in that moment where he's getting pulled down, he tweaks a knee or something.
Oh, that's, could you imagine that?
Worst case
scenario.
Just fundamentally with baseball, it's just so stupid that, like, I don't care who the player is, but, like, that Nolan Arenado has to go into the box knowing that he's probably going to get thrown at. And he had nothing to do with
it. It was retribution, right?
Well, I know, but he had nothing to do with anyone being hit. It's not like, I mean, it's not, and now with the universal DH, it's not like the pitcher's paying the price.
Yeah, you can't even go after the pitcher. A very fair point. So May 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. Mark it on your calendar. The Cardinals come to Citi Field.
I might go to one of those games. My buddy's one of the bullpen catchers. I may go to that.
You're not buddies with Stubby?
Stub? Old Dick Clapp? No. Never had that problem.
16, 17, 18, 19. By the way, was it Gallegos who hurdled the wall and just went running in?
Did you see that?
I just said it.
There's nothing better than watching, especially like the bullpen catches with the shin guards on.
Oh, go like sprinting. hobbling back there.
Doing their best to try to sprint out to the scrum.
How many of the guys in the bullpen you think are like, all right, let's go.
They probably don't even, they're winded by the time they get there.
I love the Gallegos. Like, Gallegos wanted all the smoke.
They got nothing left by that time. Just let them fight. Just let them fight. You don't like what the pitcher did? Just drop. Let's just fight.
You can't have that.
Why? People love it.
Bare knuckled fighting at the mound?
Well, what's the difference? I mean, Ned, you act like we're not wearing gloves in hockey when we fight.
Yeah, I don't know why hockey fights you look at differently than fights in other sports.
People love it.
But you don't see as much of it at all.
Well, no, because they've legislated it out of the game just with the rules. I mean,
rightfully so. How many guys that were fighters had major issues after their career? A lot.
A lot of them. But I mean, I have ultimate respect for those guys.
As you should.
We had one guy that would, before games, would Vaseline his face, just knowing, like, my job is to go out there at some point and
fight. So that the punches kind of slipped off his face?
Yeah. I couldn't imagine that. Like, going every night, like 82 nights, 82 games a year.
And whenever your team needs it, now go fight.
Go fight against the heavyweight.
That's a lot. All right, let's get to some of the calls. 1-800-919-3776.
Calls!
Yeah, calls. We have a lot of draft. We have the Mets, Yankees with another win, Gallo with a home run, another great pitching performance. Let's start out with Anthony in Staten Island. Good morning, Anthony. You're first up on 98.7
ESPN. Hey, good morning, fellas. I just wanted to, I guess, bring this point. I think I heard it even on ESPN. They were talking, there was someone who was saying how the usage of, the fastball in baseball is way down. And that, you know, people are throwing a lot more breakables. And you know, I'm not saying that, I guess, the ball being different isn't the major contributor. It probably is. But I think it's worth kind of looking at that, right? Because, you know, you got these guys all throwing more breaking balls and stuff, and the weather's cold. And I think that might be one of the things that's contributing to everybody getting hit by pitch. So just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
It's a valid point, but I think the Mets have been hit with a ton of fastballs this year.
I think that plays into it. The baseball plays into it. You heard Bassett after that game. And I also think you got guys that are throwing. I mean, you start talking about some of these, you know, these guys that throw, you know, 90, you know, 97, 98 miles an hour. And a lot of them just can't control it. Yeah, they can't pinpoint their stuff.
How much do you think your accuracy is affected in the negative by the cold weather?
A lot.
Okay, so then there's that as well.
Cold weather, slick baseball. Especially if there's no consistency with the baseballs, too. Yeah, I mean, that's, and again, I mean, that's is. I mean, how many times do we talk about it, though, how these teams use pitchers and how quickly some of these guys get up? I mean, the harder you throw, you know, the quicker you're up in the majors is that, you know, you get some guys that can throw, yeah, but, I mean, can they pitch? Right, guy, you can throw the ball really hard, but can you pitch? Can you put the ball where you need to put the ball, where you want to put the ball?
Well, we've seen no early on in the season. Now, whether that changes or not moving forward is another conversation entirely. All right, 1-800-919-3776. You gotta hear this. We've been teasing a major announcement here at the station, and it's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour today. So keep it locked in to DNR right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. 6:35, major announcement. Would you not say that everyone's life will be made easier with this announcement today?
Yes, guaranteed.
Right?
Guaranteed.
I don't know if you did. I made a video for the announcement.
Oh, video, huh?
Did you not?
Nope.
You won't do anything, huh?
No, I've done a lot. I mean, I'm on Mach 5.0. We had a big baseball home opener last night.
But did you not get a text from the powers that be? Please make a video that
no.
we can. You did not.
Or I didn't read it. Yeah.
I'm going to look in my text history.
Did everyone do that?
I believe you infected.
I do
Hang
not
on.
Use it.
One moment. You did. You sure did.
Oh, back by popular demand.
You sure did.
Yeah, maybe I didn't read it.
Yesterday, 12:39.
Yeah, I was busy.
Follow up, 12:42.
Yeah, busy.
Then when I did my video, I actually sent a text. I just did the video. Let me know if it's okay. Michael K., I just sent mine to your email. Is it okay? And you just ignore it entirely.
No,
see,
I didn't ignore it.
You can swing it like nobody else at the station.
No.
Kay listens to rules and follows directions. I do whatever I want.
No, it's not whatever I want. I mean, I got a lot going on right now. Whole house was sick. We're just getting back. I mean, there's a baseball game last night. I mean,
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
They just said make a 30-second video.
No, it doesn't, because we know that's not possible for me.
All right, because you got to turn into like Fellini, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're Spielberg. No. Yeah, more light from the left.
It's production that goes into it. And I'm still mad at them. I made an unbelievable video and they didn't use it last time. I'm not doing it again.
You're done. You're boycotting the videos.
No, I'm not. I'm just not doing it.
Wouldn't that be the definition of boycotting?
Whatever you want to call it. Boycotting, making, whatever, swinging it.
Man, you have a lot of power, huh?
This is my stand right here.
No, now you're going to swing it?
Oh, I'll swing it, baby.
So Kay is like, sure. Was this okay? I'll do it. I'll get it done. And is it okay? And you're like, I'm not doing it.
No, I didn't say that. I just haven't done it.
That's what you've done. You didn't say it, but that's what you've done.
I'll talk about it. Listen, I will spend the next 2 hours and 10 minutes just waxing poetic about this thing.
Well, you can't because we're not launching it until
6:35
this morning.
New York.
Ooh. I'll do whatever they want. I'll talk. I mean, anything they want me to say on the radio about it, I'll do it.
So if they said we would like you to host the 7 o'clock hour solo, would you do that?
No.
No. Because you can't.
No, I could. I just, it wouldn't be good.
All right. Let's go to the calls. John in Valley Stream. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just wanted to appreciate you guys taking my phone call. Hey, Dave, I'm going to go try and get the company together. We're going to see if we could pull some strings and get you on the Masked Singer. Because I think your voice is spectacular.
How great would that
thank
be?
Thank you for being a friend. You removed the mask and you just have me singing?
Oh, my God. My kids would go crazy.
I mean,
top
you know, the
morning,
company
of
people.
With, top of the morning.
With people that know people. Rick, I got a quick question for you. You know, I've been listening. I listen to the station from you guys all the way up to the end of K every day religiously for a long time now. And I've been hearing nothing but draft for the last couple of months, draft picks, this, that, analyzing players. I wanted to kind of, being your number one draft pick, the pressure that you have being drafted number one, as opposed to the pressure the GMs and the coaching staff and the upper management guys have to drafting a number one guy or a top 10 guy. Could you kind of compare those two pressures for me? And like how, I mean, because my head is exploding just listening to it. I could just only imagine how tense it is in those war rooms. I was just kind of getting you see if what your take is like on the pressure compared to both you being drafted first and then drafting, you know, a high end draft like you in that room.
I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure.
There's a tremendous amount of pressure on both sides.
Yep, thanks,
John. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of pressure, especially like, I mean, I think, you know, this year's NFL draft is a perfect example of that because, I mean, there's no real clearly defined number one overall pick. Right, like, I mean, there's certain years that, I mean, you have the first overall
pick. Like last
pick.
Year.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know who you're taking, and people aren't going to question it. It's a good pick. It's almost like it's when the Islanders took John Tavares.
It's a no-brainer.
It was, Well, yeah, because it was Tavares, it was Duchesne, and it was Hedman. And everyone collectively said that John Tavares should be the first overall pick. So now if you buck the trend and said, you know, I'm going to go with Duchesne or Hedman, now you were risking looking like a fool because Tavares was supposed to be that guy. Now, I mean, when you go back, you know, Hedman would have been a good pick too, right? I mean, because...
Absolutely. But you can't look at that pick in retrospect and be like, boy, we messed that up.
No, it was a good pick.
Yeah.
It was a good pick. It was the pick that you had. You almost had to make that pick. So I can imagine right now for Jacksonville, where there's really no clear-cut number one pick, yet there's a lot of anxiety because this is your livelihood. You start missing on...
This is your livelihood. You're supposed to, like the Jets, take that next step. It's year two for Trevor Lawrence. And the thing that stinks is you have the number... Last year, you had the number one pick, and it was... Well, was it? Yeah, it was last year, and it was obvious, right? You were going to take Trevor Lawrence. It was a no-brainer. Even if he turns out to be, you know, a bum, it was the obvious pick. Everyone would have made it, and you made it. This year... This is why you get paid the big bucks, because this year you have a real decision to make at the top of the draft.
Exactly right. I mean, it's like when Zion was, I mean, when the Pelicans took Zion with the first pick.
Right. Right now you would take John Morant over Zion, but you can't return to the scene and say, boy, they messed that up. They should have taken John Morant, because nobody would have taken John Morant over Zion.
Exactly right. And then as far as being the first overall pick, there's a ton of pressure. There is. And you want to pretend like it's not, and people, you know, pressure's a privilege and everything else. There is. I mean, the expectation is when you go that high in a draft is that you're supposed to be the answer. You're supposed to be the guy that steps in and helps, you know, turn around an organization, because usually you're going to a team that's not very good.
When did you know you were going to be the number one pick? Like, were you a Trevor Lawrence or a whatever's going to happen tonight?
Night before.
So you had no idea?
No, the night before the draft I knew.
Right, but I'm saying, for weeks leading up, you didn't know that you were going to go one.
No, I didn't know I would go one until we got up to Calgary. I mean, there was a chance. There was a strong possibility, but we didn't know for sure until the night.
Right.
The night
so what did you know? Like, I will definitively go top five?
Top three.
So you knew going in you'd go top three.
Yeah, and I think I eliminated Atlanta accidentally by saying that I wanted to score a goal. So it was probably going to be Minnesota.
What are your career goals? All I care about is just scoring one. Coach.
Oh, God. And I'm a goalie saying I want to score a goal.
Yeah, but that team doesn't even exist anymore. So maybe you could have changed that.
Well, but it's Winnipeg.
Yeah, but you don't. Who wants to go to Winnipeg?
No one.
No one.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.